Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Good morning, good morning. My name is Tom Kyle. My beautiful wife Randy's in the front row. We have the privilege of serving this community. If you're a guest here this morning, we welcome you. Thank you for coming. I hope you encounter Jesus with us and understand the love of God and how much Jesus cares about you. This morning we have with us a family from Owensboro, Kentucky. Everybody say Kentucky. Kentucky. Now say Kentucky. That's it. We're getting into the swing of it. Mike and Maddie lead a church in Owensboro. My wife and I have been able to go down there. I think I've been down there three times, maybe four. Randy's been down there a couple of times. And they are a new church to Life Streams. What is the world is Life Streams? It's just a small organization of churches who've decided to walk together. And Mike and Maddie made a choice. They met Dan and Fee, who again lead the church in St. Charles, Illinois, said, hey, can we walk with you guys? So we are thrilled to have this family with us. Maddie and Carter, could you guys stand up? This is Carter, their son. This is Maddie, beautiful lady. So, Mike, could you come up here? We are thrilled to have them with us. Randy and I have been blessed with his friendship. Some of the leaders have been able to go down to Owensboro and connect. So Mike and Maddie lead the church in Owensboro, Kentucky, and we're just excited about relationship and investment, them into our lives, what they have already blessed us with, and hopefully what we can help strengthen and encourage you and what you're doing. Maddie's on the worship team, amazing. Carter likes the Cowboys, so we're going to be praying for you. You know, again, Stephen, quiet. We got a couple of Cowboys fans, so we have to use small words for them. So Mike actually is a Cowboy fan. Also, I'm sorry, I forgot about that. That's okay.
It's all right.
We love all people. We accept all people. But if y'all could you stand with me? We just pray for. And Maddie, could you come up here just real quick? And Randy, could you come up here? We just want to bless you guys. Pat, Talia, could you come up also? Just representing the Chicago St. Charles Church. We're going to be seeing more of this couple. That's news to you guys, but we're going to be seeing more of this couple. And we just want to impart life to them, blessing, that whenever they bump into us, our cup spills over in blessing to them. So again, we just got used to the extending of hands. But if you could just extend your hands to them, we're just going to bless them in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for the gifting, the gracing, the favor of heaven upon this couple. I thank you for Mike and Maddie, Lord. I thank you that your hand is so obvious upon them. Fruit from Holy Spirit is so obvious on them, around them, and from them. I thank you for the labor that they have already gone through in Owensboro to see something birthed of the Spirit that you are for and with and all about. I thank you for your goodness towards this couple, Lord, that you will keep them close with each other, close with you. The peace of heaven would rest upon them. Father, we speak heaven's life, heaven's presence on them, and we bless them and thank you for them, Father, in Jesus' mighty, mighty name. And everyone said, amen, amen and amen. Y'all can be seated except Mike. He's given me a new Apple. Thank you.
You're welcome.
He comes with gifts. I like that.
2013.
2013?
I think so.
Is that an older model?
Yeah.
You can keep that one.
Okay.
I guess he's going to take that and give me the new one.
Right.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
So this is Mike, and he is the senior pastor in Owensboro, Kentucky. And just hearing his testimony, amazing what Jesus has done for him. And this morning, we're going to be blessed to hear about him, them, what Jesus has done for them, and we're excited and blessed. So, in Jesus' name, take your time and have fun.
I think I'm good. Good morning.
Good morning.
Man, I love the tight space, to be honest with you. Some of you might be thinking, man, it's getting tight in here. But actually, we have the opposite problem in Owensboro. We have a church that was built in the 80s, 1,500-person sanctuary. And that, you know, long story short, there's not that many people in there. There's a little more than there is in this room, probably. But there's just such a, honestly, it's like there's such a good atmosphere just being close. There's just such an expectation and excitement in the room, just being close together in worship. In our room, our bottom seat's 500, and we put like 250 in there. So, and then there's 700, 900. So it just seems empty all the time. It's not the most encouraging thing every Sunday morning. But anyways, I have a few things I want to talk about. I was going to go ahead, I had it in my notes, just to go ahead and say, go Cowboys, but I can just go ahead and do that again. That's America's team. It's God's team. And every other team is an idol. That's what the Bible says. I don't know what that means. Sounds like witchcraft. The Cowboys are going to win today. Hey, honestly, I'm not a hater against the Chiefs. It's hard not to like Patrick Mahomes, so more power to him. How many of y'all are actually Chiefs fans? That's what I'm preaching on this morning. It's football, illustrations. But anyways, so we're from Owensboro, Kentucky, a church called the Father's House. I felt this came to my mind this morning. I actually just celebrated 10 years of sobriety, of walking with Jesus. Come on. Hey, that's actually like a proper response. Thank you. You know what I mean? Like, not because of me, not because of my own will, but simply from giving up my will and submitting myself completely to the Lord's surrender. Grew up in the church, left the Lord for a long time, 11 years old, became a drug addict for a long time, got in and out of jail, which is always funny when I'm going and staying in people's houses and they don't know me beforehand. Like, that was the hooker's house. And then after, they've already agreed for me to stay there. And I'm like, yeah, I've been arrested 17 times. And they're like, oh, you know, you just never know what kind of response, you know, you're going to get from the host homes, you know. It's like, what? Who's staying at our house? But my mom loves to remind me that I'm a new creation, right? I'm a new creature. So 10 years sober. Our church, God radically saved me in jail in North Carolina, in Jacksonville, North Carolina. Never thought I'd be a pastor. Never in a million years. Actually, my two older brothers, what time? Y'all go to 11:30? Glory to God. And so it's my first Sunday here, so I can give you a little backstory about my two older brothers. Maddie, my wife, was at, also I have my two other daughters here, Mercy and Elena, and then there's a little boy named Redding in the back as well. But my two older brothers, I remember Maddie was at our first like Thanksgiving when we were dating, and she asked my older brothers, Did you guys, like, and back then I was just like a youth volunteer. Like, I wasn't a youth pastor. I was just a helper at the church. And she said, did you guys ever think that Mike would be, you know, just doing what he's doing now? And my brother quickly was like, no. You know, like, oh, no, definitely not. You know, we were just hoping that he wouldn't die. Seriously. We were just hoping that he wouldn't die and maybe he would quit doing drugs and, you know, just have a decently normal life. But we never thought... my brother, I used to go to his house running from the law and just show up at his house, knock on the door. My brother would welcome me in his home, scare his wife half to death for letting me in his home. But he just always had open arms for me. And now my brother goes to my church. My mom goes to my church. It's just such an honor of what the Lord can do. And I think that's just how the kingdom should work. The kingdom, great leadership. And I believe, and only knowing Tom just for a little bit, I believe Tom exemplifies this next statement that Jesus would say. He would say, the things I've done, you will do greater things than these. So great leadership, that's the heart of the great leadership. Insecure leadership is going to be, hey, I'm up here. Remember, I'm the one that's pastored you. I'm going to put it in other terms. I'm your dad. Yeah. I've been married longer than you. I know more than you. And it's just insecure leadership. Insecure leadership creates insecure people. Yeah. Instead of just trying to push people up and saying, you know, I hope you're my son, you know, I'll be a better dad than you. I pray you are a way better dad than me. Yes. I pray you learn from all my mistakes. I pray that you're a way better husband than I am. And I know actually he will be.
Yes.
And I can be completely okay with that.
Yes.
You know, I don't have to be, because there's something beautiful about the life in Jesus that has no shame. Man, shame, guilt, condemnation, or anti-gospel tools from the enemy. And they actually keep us from being vulnerable in front of people. So actually, the Lord sent me here today just to be extremely vulnerable with you all. I was praying, asking the Lord, you know, what do you want me to share about? And the Lord told me to talk to you guys. It's more of a, it's not really a sermon, I guess you could say, but he told me to talk about this encounter I had with him. And do y'all, I guess y'all use the term inner healing around here. Do y'all know what inner healing is?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you know what it is. Raise your hand if you don't know what it is. Oh, that's not too bad. It's like three of you. For the three of you. Inner healing. How many of you know when you got saved and maybe your sin was washed away and when you die, you'll go to heaven. But how many of you know after that moment, you still had issues?
Yes.
And for all the other people in this room, that's you as well. You still had issues. And we still have things in our soul from life experiences or from trauma or from lies that we're believing and different things. How many of you know the enemy is the liar?
Yes.
And so Jesus says, you know, I am the truth and the truth shall set you free. And one of my favorite quotes is the truth won't set you free until you first identify the lies that are holding you captive.
Excellent.
You know, so you can think about it, right? Like, honestly, I remember being in worship. We should probably pray. But I remember being in worship and that song, it said, you know, earlier, like, you're never gonna let me down. I'm not really a singer, if you haven't noticed. And I remember singing that song before and thinking, well, God, I just don't feel like I can sing this. I feel like you have let me down, Lord. I feel like I remembered immediately going back to when I was 6 years old. My parents got divorced and I had a picture of my dad in the U-Haul. And I remember asking God to restore my house, restore my marriage, and it never happened. I remember thinking, well, God, you have let me down. How can I sit here and sing this? This is what I want to talk about this morning. God is still speaking. He wants to have communication with you. He's not afraid of your hardest, most bitter, hurt parts of your heart. He's not afraid of it. He's not afraid of you being honest and open with him and saying, God, I don't mean this.
Yes.
You know, I never wanted to get saved to become just a religious person who did religious things, checking religious boxes and dressing up and going to church on Sunday. This is real to me. This is something very real. This is an intimate relationship with God that he offers you. And maybe that's new to you this morning, but I want to take you into that. And I believe the Holy Spirit is inviting you in to saying, hey, you can actually know me like you know your spouse.
Yes.
And I remember telling God, I don't mean this. You have let me down. It's hard for me to sing this. And I love how the Holy Spirit works. And he said, Michael, I never promised you that your parents would be back together. I never promised you that your life would be easy. I never promised you that you wouldn't be hurt. I never promised you those things, but I did promise you that I would save you, I would redeem you, and I would always be with you. You know what I mean? Man, I like to be real with God. How many of you know he knows what you're thinking?
Yes.
So it doesn't matter if you're in your heart. I mean, he knows what's going on. So you might as well just be honest with him. So let's pray. Let's be spiritual this morning. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for just the expectation in this room. Lord, it's just an honor. Holy Spirit, would you just come even in a greater measure? Lord, help us to be aware of your presence. Lord, I thank you that I can't save anyone. I can't redeem anyone. I can't do anything, God, but I just ask that you would use me this morning to do your will. Father, that you would just move on your people. You would open their eyes, Lord. Open their heart. Open their minds in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said,
amen.
We do something in my church I want to do here. If this is okay, would you lift out your hands like this to receive?
Yes.
And smack your neighbor's hand. Just kidding. Some of y'all did. That was nice. Well, you can be a little childlike this morning, right? How many of you know God doesn't want to make you so mature you stop being childlike?
Excellent.
So we just say this out loud. We believe in declarations at our church.
Yes.
So we just say, Jesus,
Jesus,
I receive
anything
that's from you, and anything else.
Anything.
I don't want it. Amen? Some of y'all were kind of scared.
Yeah.
You know, that was good. You can go ahead and do it if you didn't do it. Another thing we say at our church is, if it's from the Lord, you want it.
Yeah.
How many of you know if we set up a line on this side of the room for blessings, we'd all line up, but on this side of the room for correction, it'd be a short line. But when you know that something's from Him, the Father, who loves you unconditionally, you want it, regardless of what He's handing out.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
I want it. If it's from Him, I always want it.
Yes.
Amen? So, we'll see what happens here. Um, So the last 10 years or so of our lives, me and my wife, if you were at the group last night, you know, talk about trauma and just stuff that's happened to you in your life. You know, I could go toe-to-toe with anybody in this room probably. But something I've learned is that I'm not a victim anymore, right? I spent my whole life being a victim and saying, okay, well, my dad wasn't there and I was abused and, you know, and that's why I am the way that I am. I feel like some people have this mentality, this entitlement to be broken. There's like this, you better not tell me I can't be depressed. And we're not trying to tell you you can't be depressed. We're just trying to say that you can be healed.
Yes.
Right? I'm not trying to say things badly haven't happened to you and we're supposed to act like they haven't. We're just saying, no, hey, Jesus wants to heal that stuff.
Yes.
And then you can go and help other people be healed.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So, last 10 years or so, me and Maddie started going down this journey of inner healing, basically getting into our hearts, looking at unhealthy patterns in your life and trying to figure out, why do I do this?
Yeah. Yes.
Like for an example, I remember one day with Maddie, we're at the house and there was like a scary show on the TV and I went in there and like Mercy's scared and I was like kind of freaked out. So I was like, Maddie, no, like the kids, they're watching a bad show. And it wasn't her fault. The kids, they know how to use a remote, turns out. And they still need Jesus. And like we all do, right? And then just a little more. Like Tom really needs Jesus, badly. And so we're in this moment, follow me, and we're in this moment where I find myself, and I start being harsh with Maddie. Hey, we can't have that happen. We can't. There's no way. If I got to take the TVs out of the house. And I remember my wife saying, hey, I'm sorry, it's okay. You know, I didn't mean to. And I'm just like, and then I get so convicted. Because I'm like, ugh, that's ugly. But I've learned that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to me. And he's not afraid of what's going on in my heart. So I remember sitting there thinking, I sat back on the couch and I got really convicted. And I remember the Lord, I said, God, what is that? Why am I being harsh? And he's like, oh, you're being harsh because you're afraid. So Mike, when you get afraid, you try to take control. I'm like, oh, that's what was happening. What was I got to take control. This can't happen, so I'm going to control it. Why am I going to control it? What's the root of the control? So every time we think we need to go to counseling for our anger, but actually you need to get rid of the fear.
Yes.
That's the root.
Yeah.
Well, I got to go to counseling because I'm harsh with my wife. No, I need to figure out, what am I afraid of? Oh, and then the Lord is like, Mike, you're afraid. And I said, what am I afraid of? He said, you're afraid that your kids are going to get screwed up. And your kids are going to not follow the Lord. And you're afraid that. And also, at the end of that, that makes you a bad father. And you're a bad dad. And then people are going to know you're a bad dad. And it ultimately comes down to one root, which is simply this. And it's going to show and prove to everyone, Michael, that you're not good enough.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, man. I thought I was just being angry. I thought I just got some anger issues. It's like, no, I actually got this deep-rooted issue that started in my childhood that says you're not good enough. And Michael, you need to prove yourself. And I just want to say to you, any form of trying to prove yourself is rooted in an orphan heart.
Yes.
Any form. And what I mean by orphan is an orphan doesn't know a father, doesn't have the father's approval. I love to tell my kids, I love you because you're mine.
Yes.
That's it.
Yeah.
Not because you're good at things or you're bad at things. Because there's a reality. You're going to be good at some stuff. You're going to be bad at some stuff. You're going to have, you know what I mean? You're going to have good things, bad things, and someone's going to be better than you at things. Right?
Yes.
Like, I know Tom was an athlete, but I'm sure I'm way better than him. At every sport. But Tom knows where his value comes from. Right, Tom?
Yes.
Oh, man. But there's this, are you hearing me this morning?
Yes.
My approval, one of my favorite scriptures, I'm going to go here really quickly. 1 John 4, nope, that ain't it. I don't know why I didn't bring my glasses. John chapter 5, verse 41. Glory to God. I do read my Bible sometimes. Check this out. NIV, one of my, another translation. I don't really like that one. That's the one I told you to put up there, though. I do not accept glory from human beings. Another translation says, your approval means nothing to me.
Yes.
Whoa. Wow. Did you know that there's two ways to take that, though? You can be like, you know, you can play a basketball game. Maybe you didn't do very well at all, and the coach is like trying to give you some constructive criticism. Your approval means nothing to me. And then all of a sudden, you're just in pride.
Yes.
People say, well, I don't care what people think. I would actually say that you really do.
Yes, that's right.
And then pride and a wall comes up because we're actually scared of those feelings of not being good enough. And I love what he says. Jesus would say to them, hey, I'm not looking for approval from people. Well, how do we know? What did Jesus have approval from? Remember in his baptism, it says that the heavens opened, the Lord spoke and said, this is my son.
Yes.
This is my son. In whom I'm well pleased. His approval came from the Lord. I'm here to tell you this morning, your approval comes from the Lord. If you're born again, your approval comes from the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
And not because of what you're good at or what you're bad at or what you'll be better at than someone. And what's awesome about that is my son, and I tell a story all the time, my son could come home and be like, Dad, I hate you. And I'd be like, man, that sucks. Jesus loves me. When I was addicted to methamphetamine and I was on my knees and I was a terrible father and I was a terrible friend and a terrible son and a terrible uncle, Jesus still wanted me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This is good news. That means regardless of the girl going to the army, regardless of where you rank, your approval doesn't come from that.
Come on.
You know what I mean? And you can just be you. I just want to tell you this morning, you are free to be you.
Right.
Stop trying to prove yourself. Stop trying to be prophetic. Stop trying to be more prophetic than you are.
Yeah.
Stop trying to be a better singer than you are. Stop trying to be a better speaker than you are. Just be you. And give what you have to give. Give what you have to give. And instead of just, well, I gotta make myself. You know, we've all been in the room. You're around maybe some really spiritual people, and you feel like you gotta give something good. It's like, no, you don't. Who says that?
Right.
Who told you that? You think the Lord is right there saying, okay, here's your time to prove yourself. Get ready. You're about to get the ball. Oh, he's just saying, hey. I had to travel with Julian a little bit at one time to a conference, and Julian's always like, hey, Mike, if you got a prophetic word, you got a thing. And every time I'm there, I'm just like, no. And he doesn't even know this, but I'm like, I just feel such a strong pull to prove myself. And so I just like, nope, I'm not doing any of that. So I'm just going to not pray for anyone. And Julian's probably thinking, man, Mike's a terrible person to bring around. And I was like, no, there's such a draw to have something good enough to say, to show that I'm good enough at things.
Right.
Yes.
You know, like I can come here completely free, and I'll take you into an encounter I had that really has helped me. Just I can just come here completely free.
Yes.
Of people's approval. And also be humble when I leave and watch my sermons and think of areas I can do better.
Yes.
Instead of, well, I don't care what people think. That's the wrong spirit.
Yes.
That's not humility. You know, it's just simply, hey, God, yeah, I got some issues. I got things I need to work on. This is what I know. This is all I have. And there's some scripture that actually would talk about in our weakness, His power is made perfect.
That's right. Yep.
And we're so, I don't know, oh, hey, the church, we've gotten so weird. Against the Bible, it's like, why don't we boast about our weaknesses? And religious people hate when you boast about weaknesses. You'll be boasting about your weaknesses, but don't think that way. The Lord's strong and mighty. He's right there. It's like, okay, I get it, but this is a week. I'm having a moment. I think God's okay with me having some moments of unbelief.
Yeah, right.
What did that guy say? One of my favorite scriptures. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I'd love to tell you when people come in wheelchairs, I'm the first one full of faith and full of miraculous faith. Yeah. Usually not. Surprise. Maybe that's you. That's great. Wonderful. Great for you. But I'm still battling that. I'm like, Lord, help my unbelief. Why do I doubt? Man, but I can look at that through a place of love and affirmation and not, oh my gosh, I doubt. I'm a pastor. I'm a preacher. I'm supposed to be the one full of faith. Oh my gosh, I'm terrible. No, my approval doesn't come from how much faith I have. My approval doesn't come from how gifted I am at things.
Yes.
And that's good because I'm not really gifted at much. I can't really build anything. Not even a good painter. Can't even have terrible handwriting. You know, it's not a lot going on for me besides just talking. Maddie hates it most of the time. She wants me to stop talking. It's a gift and a curse. Just kidding. I'm just joking. I'm just teasing. I like to have fun. I actually got this new sticker, and it says, I've been drinking, just to offend religious people. Some of y'all are thinking, what? It's talking about the scripture when Jesus says, there's living water that I give you, you'll never thirst again. Okay, just so we'll move on, preference. You're like, some people are like, what? Why did he do that? Live church is cool drinking? I mean, I don't know. I know they like to drink in the Holy Spirit. That's what was happening when that song just kept going. Hallelujah. There was an opportunity just to drink it. Oh, man. So, we're doing good. Is this my water?
Yours.
Two waters.
Do you like to drink?
I do like to drink. That's exactly right. Can I just say, there really is nothing better than what Jesus has. I used to get drunk. I used to do drugs. I used to do every pleasure the world has to offer. And I'm just here to tell you, young people, I'm not missing out on those things. And I actually found something better.
Amen.
It's covenant marriage.
Yes.
Sobriety. Help. Man, I feel amazing. Completely sober. Isn't that crazy? It's crazy to me because I never thought I could live this way. Why? Because the devil's a liar. I used to tell my mom would be praying in tongues, and I'd say, Mom, if I come to Jesus, I'm at least going to need a Xanax or a Valium or something. If I give up weed, it's got to have something to give. I'll never be okay. The devil's just saying, yeah, Mike, you'll never be all right. You're screwed up. And the whole time, Jesus is saying, hey, come to me. I'll set you free. Yes. And I was like, that sounds too good to be true. Lord, how? It's just simple. It's supernatural. Yeah. It's that simple. He changes your desires. He changes you from the inside out.
Yes.
And he'll change what you enjoy.
Yeah.
But if you feed your flesh constantly, don't be surprised when you have such a huge appetite for the flesh.
Yeah.
And then you get to church thinking, I'm just not feeling it anymore. Well, what's the difference? Because there's some person right beside you pressing in the glory and drinking up. And you're like, man, church is mid today. Y'all know what that means?
Yes.
It means it was okay. It was just normal for the older generation in here. Just another day. And I love just telling myself on Sundays, no matter where I am, I'll just sing out loud, God, this is not another Sunday.
Yes.
Not just another Sunday. It's not just another message. It's not just another song. Like, this is a big deal.
Yes.
It's a big, how many of you believe what he did for you was a big deal?
Yes.
And let's worship like it.
Amen.
Let's sing like it.
Yes.
Let's serve like it.
Yes.
You know what? Let's tell people about it. You know, let's pray like it.
Yes.
Come on. So much more. My computer keeps turning off. Praise God. I guess the Lord's like, I don't want you to do this. So I felt the Lord this past, Tom said, you all been talking about family. And I want to say, there's no greater gift you can give to your family or this family than the healthiest version of yourself. And that look, it's going to take some inner looking. Some people say, well, my granddad, he's just a straight shooter. You know, he'll just tell you like he's blunt. And he's like, well, you know, he's just a jerk. No, he's just rude, actually. And Jesus isn't rude. The Bible says, tell the truth in love. Here's the difference. Hey, you're fat. You need to lose weight. You're getting nasty, disgusting person. Fix yourself. It might be true, but there's no love. When you tell the truth in love, I remember I've lost like 37 pounds. I had a guy in our church come to me in love at his house. He served me coffee. He said, Mike, you're young. I was 28 years old. He said, Mike, you kind of let yourself go. Your wife is young. You guys need to work on your health. And he said it in love. And then the whole time he was trying to hand me cream and sugar for my coffee. I was like, this is a kind of hypocrisy. It was a setup. But he said it in love. And guess what I did? I ended up losing almost 40 pounds. And working out and hit the gym, right? But there's, it's not about what you say, it's about how you say it, right? So let's let God into our personal junk. Fear, whether you're ashamed of yourself, you're scared to be rejected by people, the need for approval. The need for approval is a huge one. That's a huge lie, a huge thing that most probably all of us deal with in some measure. And 11, 12, my God. I better get to the testimony. It's y'all's fault. You worshiped forever. Yeah. You know, so it's like heaven in here. You know, we're going to get to heaven one day. We can do that. I'm just kidding. You know, we get that a lot. I had a Baptist preacher in our town come visit our church during his sabbatical. And he came to our church and he said, man, you guys like to worship. You know, it's a passive-aggressive way of saying, they got a long church service, you know. And I said, yeah, well, if that's what, you know, I'm cool with being known for spending time in his presence. I think you guys are probably pretty good with that, too.
Yes, we are.
At Life Church, let's just spend adequate time in his presence.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
So, let me take you to an encounter. I believe God wants to impart, at the end of this, I believe God just wants to impart approval in this room. Amen? So I was at a ministry called Identity Exchange. How many of you have heard of Jamie Winship? Anybody? Cool. My wife. But they have this thing called Identity Exchange. Really, that's what happens, right, when you get saved. You were a sinner. Now you're a son or a saint or a daughter, right? But we're not sinner anymore. How many of you have heard people say, we're just a bunch of sinners trying to make it? What a hopeless gospel. No. John chapter 1, to many of those who have believed have been given the right to become children of God. This is good news for my family that I'm not identified just as sinner, drug addict anymore, and dad's not a ticking time bomb so when he's going to explode with sin again.
That's right.
I've been redeemed, right? No longer a slave to sin, but a slave to righteousness.
Yes.
So good. So I'm in this, I had this Zoom call. So we'll be done shortly, I promise. I had this Zoom call with this inner healing, okay? Let's just put it like this. It's like a Holy Spirit counseling session.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Okay? Like, I'm all for counseling, trauma therapy. I'm all for it. But imagine if you went to somebody who was filled with the Spirit of God and they could help you hear the voice of the Lord and actually bring true freedom and healing and have you stop depending on the meetings you're going to with them.
Yes.
Four of you. Thank you. People are like, nope, I like going to my therapist. I'm just kidding. That's fine. As I was having this meeting, I was in my office, and I struggle. Mike Cisnettle says, a struggle that I have in my life is just this thought that I'm never doing enough. Maybe you're thinking that's not you. That's fine. How many of that's you? You're like, man, I'm always thinking I'm not reading my Bible enough. I'm not praying enough. Anybody else be vulnerable and raise your hand?
Yes.
I'm not worshiping enough. I'm just not doing enough. Every time I think about my relationship with the Lord, all I see first is that I'm not doing enough. And I was like, man, so I go down, I'm on this worship call with this lady I don't know. And we're in my office or we're on Zoom. And she's like, hey, we're just going to do a prayer, this prayer thing. And I'm like, listen, I'm open to the Holy Spirit. I've been around a bunch of wacko, weird stuff my whole life too. And some of it's legit. And I was like, okay, let's go. And so we get into this prayer, and I just straight up tell her, I struggle. We just always think I'm never doing enough. Never doing enough for God, never doing enough for my family, just never doing enough with anything. I'm always just looking through myself as a lens of I got to prove myself, I got to do more. And so she's like, okay, well, let's pray. How do you know that's a good method?
Yes.
Let's pray. And so I'm in this meeting with her, and we start to pray, and it gets real charismatic very quickly. Okay? And she says, hey, Mike, I just want you to picture that you're in a garden. I told you it was getting real charismatic. How do you know the Bible's full of visions,
yes,
dreams,
yes,
crazy, miraculous things? We believe God spoke through a donkey. We believe He split the sea. We believe chariots of fire came down from heaven. This is the things I'm about to tell you aren't that out of the ordinary.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Jesus rose from the dead and came and ate food with His disciples. We believe supernatural things. If you're a Christian, you believe in a supernatural God.
Amen.
So I'm with this lady, and she's like, hey, close your eyes, go to a garden. I'm like, okay, let's do this. And so I'm in this garden. And she's like, what do you see? And I start to see a ton of tomatoes and fruit just everywhere. She's like, what do you see? And I'm just like, I don't know, I see a bunch of tomatoes. What's funny is I don't even like tomatoes. I hate tomatoes. I'm like, I don't know why I see tomatoes. And she says, why don't you ask the Lord what that means? I said, Lord, why do I see so many tomatoes? And He says, Mike, because you're fruitful. I'm like, oh, I am fruitful. God has used me. God is using me.
Yes.
God's like, what? And so then we go on and we're like, okay, let's ask the Holy Spirit, where does this thought come from that you're not good enough? So I'm like, Holy Spirit, will you take me back to a place in my life where I first felt like I wasn't good enough? And immediately, the Lord takes me to second grade. I lived at a place called the Daniel Patino Shelter with my mom and my brothers. We moved from Texas. I went to a Christian school because somebody paid for us to go. One of the people from the school was taking me home. One of my friends was in the car. I was in second grade. His name was Michael as well. And I remember, it's a side door of this shelter. And I remember the Lord, I remember Him asking me, what is this place? Like, obviously this isn't a house. It's like this huge building. It was like an old church. And He says, what is this place? And I remember immediately just being so ashamed. Just so ashamed of where we lived. And I remember in that moment just telling Him begrudgingly, it's a shelter. And I remember His mom being like, don't say anything mean to Him. And I remember just being so angry and being like, it's a shelter. And I remember saying, but we're not going to be here very long. And so here I'm with this lady, and she's like, Mike, how did you feel in that moment? And I just remember being this. I had my eyes closed for probably 45 minutes, and just in this vision with God. How many of you know the Bible says you will have visions?
Yes.
And I love this kind of stuff because it's real.
Yes.
It's not just Sunday church and don't cuss, don't drink, don't smoke. You'll go to heaven. This is a real intimate thing. And I'm there, and the Lord. And she's like, Mike, how did you feel in that moment? And then I just remember that. I said, man, I felt orphaned. I felt abandoned. I felt alone. I felt rejected. And I'm in this moment in the prayer, I'm upset. I'm not in a good place still. I'm like, man, that's why these songs, you know, you're never gonna let. I'm like, yeah, you will. Anybody else, you see, you hear what I'm saying? The car breaks down. You're like, hold on a second. I thought you're not going to let me down. What? And actually, in the Bible, He says, in this life, you will have tribulation.
That's right.
But take heart. I've overcome. And so I'm in this moment with God, and I'm like, I felt rejected. I felt orphaned. I felt abandoned. And she's like, tell me if you see Jesus. Is Jesus there? And I'm like, yeah, He's there. And He's outside the door, and He's opening the door, insinuating that He lived there with me. He was showing me that moment, like, I was with you at that place. But then, guess what? I'm still mad. I don't care. And I said, God, I understand you're with me, but why did you allow this to happen? My mom loves you. She serves you. Why? Why did you allow this to happen? Why did you allow us to be here? I know you're with us, but why? I thought you're good. I thought you'd protect us. And the Lord just begins to show me, and it's nothing against my father, but the reality is the Lord showed me this is because of my father that we were there. And God's like, hey, your dad, because of a thing called free will,
yes,
your dad makes his own decision. I don't control people's action, and unfortunately, people are victims of other people's wrongdoings.
Yes.
But the Lord's like, Michael, but don't you forget for a second. I was with you. I lived with you in that place. I didn't want you to be there either. And so I'm sitting there in his prayer, and I'm like, man. And then he just heals that in my heart in that moment. Because at first I'm like, but why? And he's like, hey, he's gracious. He's just like, hey, it's because your dad. It wasn't me, Michael. It wasn't me. You ever feel like, this might sound crazy and heretical. Sometimes you feel like you got to forgive God. Now let me say this. God doesn't need forgiveness. I was saying you feel like it because you feel like he's wronged you. Okay? He doesn't need my forgiveness. That's a crazy thought. But what it really means is I gotta trust him. I don't trust you. But I'm going to start trusting you. And actually, I'm going to repent for not trusting you. Who am I not to trust you? And so in this moment, God's like, hey, he heals that in my heart and says, no, Michael, that wasn't me. And then goes a little further. And she said, why don't you ask the Lord if he wants to give you something? And I believe God wants to do something special this morning. She said, why don't you ask him if Jesus wants to give you something? And I'm like, and you know what I mean? I'm open. I'm like, okay, why not? Right? And I just sit there and I'm in tears. And I'm like, Lord, I'm like, and she said, what does he want to give you instead of that rejection, instead of that shame, instead of that orphan? And I just immediately heard the scripture that he's a father to the fatherless. And the Lord was just saying, Michael, I'm your father. You're my son. But immediately, I feel like the Lord handed me a blue ribbon. And on this little blue ribbon, it said first place. Oh, man. This is crazy. So he hands it to me. And he puts it on my chest. And he puts it right here, like when you win a first place in a race. And some of you are thinking, man, this is crazy. What kind of church is this? Open your heart. And he gives me this ribbon. He puts it on my chest, and it's just first place. And I'm like, God, what is this? And this just sounds kind of cheesy, but I guess this is a second grade talk. And he says, Michael, he says, you're my little winner, and you're going to help people win. I'm just crying. I'm like, man. But here's the talk back with God, though. You know what I said in that prayer? I said, but God, I haven't won anything. I haven't won anything for you. I haven't gotten first place. I've failed at everything in my life, still failing at things. I haven't won anything. And he's like, Michael, this is the point of the gospel. You can't earn this. He's like, rejoice. Rejoice, you can't earn it. He that knew no sin became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. He's saying, Mike, I took what you deserved, and you get what I earned. And he's placing this first place on me. And he's basically saying, this is from my blood, from what I earn. Here's my righteousness that you can't earn. And don't you dare try to earn it. Yeah. And we're constantly trying to earn something we've received by grace and faith in him. And then we get saved, we receive salvation, and then for the rest of our lives, we still try to measure up, perform, get approval, and everything else. And he's saying, what? Mike, did you not forget that at your worst place, Romans 5:8, when you were yet a sinner, I died for you. And now you think that you can earn it by reading your Bible more?
That's good.
Let me say this. We will build intimacy with God by seeking him more. But we will not earn our approval and our salvation from him. You won't earn his approval by praying more. You won't earn his approval by preaching, by sharing the gospel, whatever. You're not going to earn your salvation those ways. But they will build relationship and intimacy with God. There's a big difference. That's why when he prayed earlier, he said, what are you asking God for? Can we just be real? I started thinking, man, I feel like only things I'm asking God for are for me. And then I start thinking, how many of us were like, God, I want you to use me. Right? That's what we want. And then I start thinking, but why do we want that? Do we want to be used by God so we finally get in front of people and finally feel that we're approved and we're good enough? Or is it because we want God to get glory? Because how many of you know you can want to be used by God for you? Or you can say, God, I want to be used by you for your glory. I don't want you to use me so people can know me. I want you to use me so people can know you. There's a big difference. But that won't come if you're looking for approval from people and trying to be good enough and prove yourself. If you're trying to prove yourself in any way by doing things at church, it's going to be orphan-minded. It's going to be ugly because guess what? Somebody's going to be better than you at it. Somebody will be a better preacher. Somebody will be a better small group leader. Somebody will be more prophetic. Somebody know the Bible. They'll know the Greek, the Hebrew, whatever it may be. But you can just be you. And so the Lord, he hands me this ribbon. And he says, Mike, first place. You win. And I'm like, God, I don't deserve it. And he's like, exactly. Now you're getting it. That's the thing you're so worried about is deserving it. But that's the whole thing. You've been saved by grace through faith, not of works that any man should boast. Right. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. He's saying this is the whole point, right? Here we go. 1 Peter 1:18 through 19. It says, for you know that it is not with perishable things as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Your value comes from the blood of Jesus Christ. God spent the blood of his son on you. Right? And it wasn't because you were good enough. It wasn't because you prayed enough. It wasn't because you gave enough money. You can't buy it. You can't buy these things. For too long, people have come to church and tithe and been so faithful with their tithe and their church attendance, and that's wonderful and amazing, but God wants you to be fully alive. He wants you to be healed, healthy, and whole. He wants your marriage to flourish. He wants your grandkids to flourish. He wants you to be alive in him. More than just come and give my money, write a check. He wants our hearts. He wants your heart. Even if you're 80 years old in this room and you've never experienced this healing from God in your heart and you've never dealt with your bad attitude, it's probably because you've been hurt. How many of you know angry people are usually hurt people? So I remember, this is so cool for me, and I'm going to close. When I walked on this platform, guess what I had on? My ribbon. So I lost some of y'all already. Y'all paying attention? Wake up. When I walked on this platform, it doesn't matter how many people are here. It doesn't matter the live stream's on. It doesn't matter anything at all to me. And I can be completely okay with how I did today, whatever, but I didn't step up here to get approval or value. Yeah. So I can just walk up here completely like, oh God, this is your idea. He's like, yeah, I know, Mike, you definitely had nothing to give. You know? And I can walk around with this on. I can play basketball with my ribbon on. I can compete at things with my ribbon on. I can preach. I can teach. I can lead with my ribbon on. I can allow other people in the pulpit because I'm sitting on the front row with my ribbon on.
Yes. Yes.
We got some incredible preachers at our church. One of them preached the other day. I looked at Carter and I said, man, I might as well retire. This is incredible. She's way better than me. And I don't have a retirement or any money, so it wouldn't be long. Just being like a sabbatical, a break. One last thing. So I remember 2 weeks later, I have a polo bag, which isn't even that cool. Like a Ralph Lauren polo bag. You know what I'm talking about? And it's blue, and it has like a gold horse on it. Pristine. And I was at a event, and I'm coming down the elevator, and the horse is on one side of the bag, so I turn the bag around. Maybe for you it's a car, and you carry yourself like you're somebody in that car. I would advise you to sell it, or deal with your heart. I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't know if I could drive an Escalade. Just being straight up. See, Maddie could. I don't know if I could. I probably would drive around town thinking I'm the man. You know, just being honest. When the church offered to buy me a car, you know what I bought? A 2017 silver Hyundai. That's like the least cool car. Sorry if that's your car. But it just is. But I'm on the elevator. I'm walking out of the elevator. I turn the bag around because all of a sudden here I am placing my value in this horse. And the Lord's like, no, Mike, the ribbon.
Yes.
Beautiful. I'm like, oh, yes, Lord. Turn back around. Man, my value doesn't come from what I have. Doesn't come from what I do. Doesn't come from how good I am in anything, materialistic things. My marriage doesn't come. It comes from you, Lord. It comes from you, Lord. And guess what, though? Just because I had God speak to me and say, hey, Mike, you're valuable, I have to do this all the time. Yeah. I got up to speak at a big conference for a jail banquet, and I'm sitting on the front row, and I'm about to walk up there putting my ribbon on first. Like, okay. You know? No matter where I go, and I feel like the Lord, that's why he wanted me to share this today. I'm not someone special. I'm not a profound, I am someone special, but I'm just a normal person. You know, I'm not trying to be a big fancy preacher or fancy person or anything like that. I just feel like God wants us to be ourselves. Can we stand?
Yes.
Could you play some piano or something? I just feel like God wants to just impart approval on some of you or all of you.
Yes.
And then I will walk off this platform. And then I don't know what y'all do around here, but at our church, we all go eat Mexican. Is that about right?
Yes.
I said, we could come here and we fit right in. Besides the Chiefs sing. Can I just say to you today, the whole point of the gospel is not that you're good enough.
Yeah.
It's just that Jesus was good enough for us.
Yeah.
It's good news.
Yes, it is.
And I just also want to come against this. Any orphan-minded speaking that wants to try to get on this platform and in this pulpit. God has not called everyone to this platform or this pulpit.
Yes.
Don't let the enemy lie to you and say visibility equals significance.
Oh, that's good.
The Bible's clear. The hidden part's the most honorable.
Yes.
There's some people right now in that back room taking care of babies that no one knows about. Some people that are cleaning this church. People that are coming to prayer. Jesus didn't tell them not to want to be great for God. He told them the way to do it. He said, go low. Go low. The best way up is down, right? Jesus, can we just close our eyes? Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are. I thank you that you are a father to the fatherless, Lord. And I thank you just even right now, God, you are placing approval. And Lord, I just pray in the Spirit, Lord, that there would just be a supernatural impartation this morning, that you would even place ribbons on people's chest right now and say, you're first place. You can't earn this. Just feel the Lord saying, stop trying to earn something you've received by grace. Father, I thank you that we love you because you first love me. You loved me first. So God, help me just receive. I pray this morning people would just receive your love, and from that place they would give you love freely.
Yes.
God, I thank you just for healing hearts and opening people's minds that there is more of this whole Christianity thing. There is more of this whole church thing. There is more, God. There is an intimacy with you, God, to experience you, to walk with you, to talk with you, Jesus.
Yes.
You are the God who speaks.
Yes.
God, I pray for people right now that they would even open their ears and they would seek you out. We just pray against every doubt that says, I cannot hear God. Thank you, Lord, that the word says, my sheep hear my voice.
Yes.
So I just say to some of you this morning, you can hear the Lord. We love you, Lord. We bless you.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, so let's just stay right here. Don't go anywhere. If you have to go, go. It's okay. Let's just stay right here, mentally and emotionally. Just stay right here. So many people in the room this morning, you heard truth. You heard the truth. I just feel like Holy Spirit saying, what are you going to do with the truth? What are you going to do with the truth? I'm supposed to call the prayer team up, but I'm not going to because they probably need to deal with the truth right now themselves. So if you're on the prayer team, just relax. And ask yourself, what am I going to do with the truth that I heard this morning? What am I going to do? Holy Spirit, I thank you that you search in me the deep things. The deep things. The reasons why I get angry. The reasons why I always feel I don't measure up. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you search deep within me, that I could be free, that I could be whole, that I could be healed. And there are some people here this morning that you know, you're listening to this guy, you never met him, never heard him. And you're like, I don't think I know Jesus like he knows Jesus. And this morning, the Holy Spirit says, would you like a fresh start this morning? It's called a relationship with him. It's real. It's personal. It's not church. And it's not religion. It's Jesus. And if that's you this morning, he wants to offer you a fresh start. It's called a relationship. And if you know this morning, I don't know you, Jesus, like that man knows you. You may have gone to church. You may have been in this church for 8 years. May have been in church your whole life. But I know I don't know Jesus like that. Just pray with me. That's you. Jesus, I need help. I need help right now. I need help in my mind. I need help in my heart. I need help in my marriage. I'm just failing on every level, on so many levels. But Lord, I know I need help, and I need you. Will you please come into my life right now? I surrender. I want to give you my everything right now. I give you my everything. I need help. Jesus, come into my life. Be real. Heal my brokenness. Heal my heart. But Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life right now, please. I surrender. I trust you. I want to trust you. I want to believe in you. And I choose you, Jesus. Nothing else has worked. Jesus, I trust you. Come into my life now to be real. Please forgive me for all my stupidity, all my brokenness, all my failures. Please forgive me, Jesus. Nobody knows how far I've gone. Jesus, please forgive me for all of it right now, please. I accept you into my life, Jesus. Will you help me walk with you from this day forward? I have to have real. I want it to be real, Jesus. I give you my everything right now. Right now. Jesus says, yes, I'll take it all. And let's do this together, says the Lord. Let's do it together. If that's you, I just want to encourage you, don't walk out of here today without telling somebody that's what I did. Because it's got to be real. It's got to be real. And I just know there's a whole bunch of hurting people here, And when you heard what this man was saying, you're like, that's me. And I just feel like the Lord wants to say, are you ready for that to end? Are you done with that? Do you agree with heaven? It's not working well. It's just not working well. And do you want maybe heaven's solution? Which looks like a blue ribbon that he attaches because, Lord, I always come in second place or further back. But Jesus has a blue ribbon for you today that says, you are my winner. Not because you won, because you're good at losing. But I'll have you, says the Lord. I'll have you. I'll take all your ugly, and I want to exchange my beauty for your ugly. I want to take your failure, and I'll give you my success, which was ultimate success. Because I approve of you, and I love you, and I'll take you. I'll take you, says the Lord. So sometimes in life, you need to tell somebody, this is what I want to give up today. My sense of failure, my sense of I'm not enough, my sense of I don't know that God loves me, my sense of I tried and I keep failing. Sometimes you need to tell somebody that and get rid of it. It's almost like an exchange. You're going to take your old clothes to the Goodwill store because they're tatty. They don't fit me anymore. I grew too much. But I want to get rid of them. So if that's you this morning, you just want to tell somebody, I'm ready to get rid of some junk. I just want you just to make your way to the front. No, and nobody's going to be weird with you, I promise. Nobody's going to be weird with you. But just, you're done holding on to the junk because you need help. And you'd like to get rid of something this morning. Just come on up. Nobody's going to get weird with you. You know, and there's so many more people need to come up. So many more people need to come up. I'm going to have Mike and Maddie come up, and they're going to pray for you. Because Jesus, his only heart is he wants you to know how much he loves you, and he wants you free. He wants you to just be the best version of you that he's called you to be, not what you have been trying to be your whole life. Not measuring up to your brother, your sister, your dad, earthly mom. He just wants you to be who he's made you to be. It's not too late to come up. Mike, could you pray for us? Maddie?
During worship, we sang words with all of heaven. We are singing. And I was reminded of Hebrews 12, which is a familiar passage to a lot of us. But it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, it's really cool. I love being here because your church has such a vigor, you guys are very enthusiastic about praising the Lord. And I felt like the Lord said he wants to help you to strip off every weight that slows you down. So I saw that there was this excitement. There's an agreement, like, yes, the Lord is good. We want to give our whole lives for you. We want to do this. This, like, your will is not the issue. It is the weight of either the past hurts, what someone taught you about Jesus or what someone taught you about yourself, either directly or indirectly, that is weighing you down. Let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. And I even felt like there was a lingo in the church that has stuck with some of us that is, obedience to the Lord is the hardest thing you could ever do. And I just want to smash that to pieces. Obedience to the Lord is the best thing. It's the safest place to be. Everything else is easy in his presence. Everything else is easy when there's alignment. And so, Jesus, I thank you that there is such a huge crowd of witnesses in heaven that are cheering us on in this moment. Jesus, I thank you that any truth telling, whether it, even if it's hard to hear, if it's truth and love, God, it's an opportunity to rise up, like we talked about at the beginning of the service, rise up. And so, Jesus, I thank you that every weight, that it is your intention to strip it off. And I thank you that we can partner with heaven, that the song that heaven is singing, the holy, 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 that we can come into alignment with that. And I thank you for the healing that is taking place in this room. I thank you for the encouragement that is taking place in this room. I thank you for the severance that is happening in this room as well. Severance to old ties that cause serving the Lord to be a hindrance. And so I thank you, Jesus, for everything that you're doing in this room. I thank you that you're passing out name tags. I feel like the Lord is passing out name tags. He's ripping off the name that you call yourself, and he's writing son or daughter. And he's putting it on your chest next to the blue ribbon that says first place. So I thank you, God, that our names are written in the book of life, and nothing else is an accolade that we will tie ourselves to or count worthy of being said after our names. My name is such and such, loved by God, just like John, the one Jesus loves. So I thank you, God, for all the things that you're doing in this room right now.
Thank you, Lord. If you pray in the Holy Spirit, could you just pray in the Holy Spirit to yourself, not make a scene? Even the photos down front especially, that's one of my biggest things I could encourage you to do to any believer is to pray in the Holy Ghost more, so much more. It's like Maddie said, the Lord says, my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. I just feel the Lord just saying that over everyone down this altar. And to some of you, maybe you didn't respond. He's saying, I just want to place my yoke upon you right now, and it's easy. It's easy. It's easy. And my burden is light. I'm not asking you to carry a heavy thing. So, Father, right now, I just break comparison to siblings. Even from parents, it would say, you're not like your brother, or you're not like your sister, or just even that always falling short from someone in this room. Go, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just break that comparison. Approval doesn't come from how we're not good, but better than our sibling. Our approval doesn't come from how our business isn't as good as the next business down the road. We just break that comparison to others right now in the name of Jesus. We break that comparison in the church. Why am I not included? Why aren't people asking me to do things? Why aren't people asking me? The Lord, just be where you are. Be where you are. Serve. Go low. So we just break that insecurity right now this morning that no one's looking at me. I'm here to tell you this morning, the Lord's eyes are on you right now. And all of the time, and he sees. He is the God who sees everything. And you might think, no one ever sees me. No one's giving me the glory. No one's giving me credit. The Lord sees everything. He sees it all. Can we just prophesy this out loud? Say, I am who you say I am. Come on, say it until you believe it. I am who you say I am. Father, we just come against every word that our fathers or even mothers have spoke over and said, you're not good enough, you're a loser, you'll never amount to anything. And you would just break that this morning in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Even bosses, even old friends, even childhood friends that would make fun of you and whatever it is, we just break that this morning in the name of Jesus. If there's someone that you need to forgive, as the Holy Spirit would bring to your remembrance right now, so you can pray a simple prayer, Father, I forgive them. I release them from my judgment right now. In the name of Jesus. Come on, this is the real work of the kingdom. It's freedom. More, Lord. Come on, just don't leave until you know who you are. Don't leave this all until you know who you are. He's saying, you're mine. I have called you by name. You belong to me, the Lord says this morning. So every bit of comparison, everything, I just believe by faith this morning, it is gone. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen, amen.
Okay, just stay right where you're at. I just have a sense of something, especially those up here praying. I just have a sense of something. The Lord's question is, do you want to give something away this morning that doesn't suit you well? It could be comparison. I'm not good enough. It could be I don't measure up. Nobody sees me. Do you want to give that away this morning? And can you put words to it? Can you identify it? You may not. You may need some help getting there. But some of us up here know exactly, I need to give that away. It's ugly. And it's not what my Father in heaven says. I need to stop saying that to myself. I need to stop saying it about myself. And today, I'm giving it away forever. It's not from heaven. It's from hell. It's from pain. And I'm done with that junk in Jesus' name. I'm done with it. And I'm not taking it back ever again. I'm going to give it away. So here's what I'm going to ask. If those people know who they are, can I have Randy come up? And John Hooker, could you come up, please? Randy gets this side. John Hooker gets that side. And so here's my question. We're going to do Holy Spirit moment, not counseling. Okay? So my question is this, to everyone standing up here. Do you know specifically what you're done with? It's ugly. I don't want it anymore. And if you do, I want you to hand it to John. Just hand it to him. And if you know what it is, just hand it to Randy. I'm done with it. I don't want it anymore. Okay? So if you're up here, just raise your hand and John's going to take it from you. If you know what it is. If you don't, it's okay. Okay, now there may be some of us who don't have a name for it. That's absolutely okay. You just know something's not right. I was there for years. Couldn't put a name to what was wrong. I just knew something wasn't right. And Jesus has, he is available for us, for those people who can't name it. He's here for us. And he wants to help us get to a point where we can name it. And I'll talk about that in just a second. So everybody, you gave something away to Randy and something to John. Here's my word of encouragement to you. Treat it like cancer now. Treat it like cancer. Would you grab hold of cancer and take it back? Or would you say, I don't want it ever again? Treat it like cancer. Don't pick that ugly up again. Don't pick up that lie. Don't say it in your mind. Don't go back to it. It's ugly and it has death written on it for you. Don't grab it back. And some of you, it's going to be a battle. Because you're so used to saying it and believing it and thinking it, it's a battle. Get rid of it. The battle is his. Say, I don't want it. I don't want it. You go home tomorrow and you say something. I don't want it. Get rid of it. It's not yours to hold. Because you can't, you're not doing a good job with it because it's from Satan. That's why you're not doing a good job with it. And those are the lies that we've believed. And as Randy says, and as Mike mentioned, identify the lie, replace it with the truth. Super simple. A lifetime of action to stay on top of that. So if you don't know what it is, just hang around, maybe sit in the front row, have a couple people up here for you to talk with. If you don't know what that lie is, maybe you didn't come forward. It's not too late. But here's what we're going to do for all of us. Identify the lie, replace it with the truth. We need to start believing what God says. Super simple. What does God say about me? What does He say about me? And you're only going to find the truth in the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit's going to bring it to memory, and He's going to breathe on it and say, this is you, son. And you're somehow, it may not be a blue ribbon. It may be whatever the Holy Spirit shows you in that moment, whether it's approval, whatever Holy Spirit gives you in that moment, but you can take that with you the rest of your days. And it's a father to child thing. It's a gift that you take with you the rest of your life. But it's in the Word of God. It's what heaven says about you. So I just want to encourage us. For everyone who came forward and you didn't come, it's no condemnation if you didn't come forward, but you know you should have for whatever reason. You sat there because of your husband or your wife or your child or your mom. It's okay. The Lord knows you, understands your heart. It's okay. You didn't fail this morning in not coming forward. It's okay. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. So today, I just want, for the rest of us, I just want us to start reminding yourselves, what has God told you in the past? What scriptures jump out at you? Could be something Isaiah 58, 11, and 12. Could be something out of Psalm 91. Could be something out of Jeremiah 29. What has God already told you? And start telling yourself what you know the Bible to be. And if you don't have scriptures, would you please come see Randy and I, one of the leaders here? We're gonna start going on a treasure hunt in the Word of God. Yes. Yes. It's a treasure hunt because there's treasure in there. What God says is the truth. Amen? Yes. Mike, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. So let's go on a treasure hunt with Jesus. Let's go on an adventure with Jesus. But let's go new, not taking junk with us. Let's go new. Holy Spirit, I thank you for what you did today, what you began today. I thank you, Lord, that you were there with us when we pulled up to the shelter. You've been with us in every situation we've ever been in. We felt abandoned, lost, rejected, failed. Every ugly moment that we willingly stepped into out of our foolishness, I thank you that you're there to forgive, to release, that we could step into who we really are. I thank you, Jesus, you promised never to leave us, but you're with us. Even in our ugly, you're with us. So Lord, we lay hold of you. And going forward, we reject and we end today the I'm going to go on my own way and not invite you along in my mind and my heart. Jesus, bless us in our stepping out of the building today, Lord. We're not walking out same old. We're walking out new. We're walking out lighter because we left something behind. And Lord, if we go have Mexican, no afterburn. Bless our day. Bless our day. Bless our day. May our family be blessed and our coming and going. We trust you, Lord, with our life, our future. We trust with our today. We trust you for our days ahead with all the beautiful things that you have for us. Lord, we're going to step into it with you and be blessed in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Be encouraged, be blessed, have an amazing week. Give good stuff away. Amen.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.